This is the OANDA podcast, brought to you by Jazz FM's Business Breakfast.
Welcome to the first ever OANDA weekly podcast, brought to you with the Jazz FM Business Breakfast. I'm Johnny Hart. Each week, we'll review the business and market stories that made the headlines, as well as look forward to the business week ahead with OANDA senior market analyst Craig Earlham.
We enacted the biggest tax cuts in American history, and millions of Americans will have more take-home pay starting next month. A lot more.
We've got a whole sector that is underpricing debt, because behind it all is this implicit assumption that we are terribly dependent on these companies to run our public services.
Officials in the Treasury have deliberately developed a model to show that all options other than staying in the customs union were bad.
Mr. Speaker, I'm sorry to say my honourable friend's account is essentially correct.
Yes, just a few of the big stories in the week that was. Let's get the thoughts of OANDA senior market analyst Craig Earlham with his view on the past business week, as well as a preview of the week to come. Craig, how are you doing?
I'm very good.
What was your market moment of the week?
Well, I think naturally people will be thinking of what's been scattered on the front pages. So you'd be looking at Capita, which we will obviously talk about in a little bit. But for me, the thing that's really had the biggest impact on the broader markets this week is actually been something that's impacted equity markets, bond markets, and also FX markets. And that's been the move in bond yields. Now, this may not seem like much to some people, but when you see these sharp rises in the bond yields, which has come on the back of people anticipating central banks raising interest rates faster than is expected, which does have an impact on everyday lives, this does have an impact on the broader markets. And what it's done is we've seen bond yields, of course, rising to levels which we've not seen, for example, in the US in 4 years. We've seen equity markets take a step backwards because of these high yields and the rate at which they've moved. And it also, we've seen these moves in currency markets as well being reflected. Everyone will have seen the movements that we've seen, for example, in the pound and the euro recently. And all of this is intertwined. And I think this, while Capita is the story which we're seeing on the front page, this is the thing that's having a broader influence on everyday financial markets.
From the team behind Jazz FM's Business Breakfast, this is the weekly OANDA podcast.
Okay, the US non-farm payroll figures are out and their labour market marches ahead in January, employers adding more jobs than expected, and wage growth was its strongest in more than 8 years. American payrolls expanding by 200,000 last month. Now, I assume this increases the likelihood of an imminent interest rate rise.
Exactly, and this is why markets are reacting as they are right now, because even a month ago, the markets were anticipating maybe one or two rate hikes from the Federal Reserve this year. Then Donald Trump gets his tax reform through and people start to think, well, this additional stimulus could mean two or three. And it seems that this week has been a big focus on the US. The Federal Reserve was met on Wednesday and their statement was very hawkish, which means that they're saying that they think inflation is actually going to rise to target faster than they anticipated and certainly faster than markets were anticipating, which led to higher yields in the bond markets and people anticipating effectively higher rates. And then you accompany that with the jobs report today and things all of a sudden look a lot different than what they did a month ago. All of a sudden, wages look like they're much better off. Employment is strong. Unemployment is already at 4.1%. So we're looking at this market right now and we're saying, well, actually, all this doom and gloom which we've been talking about and trying to pick holes right, left and centre, things are actually looking far better than we were anticipating. Maybe we are badly positioned. And this shift that we're seeing in the markets right now is a reflection of that.
What about President Trump? You want your generals to be lucky, don't you? And he is actually doing all right in terms of the data. His State of the Union speech was loaded with good news for the US economy. And we have to say his tax cuts have gone down pretty well, haven't they, with markets. The prospects of a better performance for the Republicans in the midterm elections look greater. Would you agree?
I think when it comes to Donald Trump, it's very hard to be objective. I think that's one
that's
thing
to say the least.
Exactly. Yeah. You're either a stern believer in him or you oppose everything he does and there's an ulterior motive behind everything he does. So from my perspective, trying to look at it from a neutral standpoint can be quite difficult. he's got a lot of things over the line. You can't deny this. Obamacare has been a thorn in his side, but he has got tax reform through in his first year. This is something that he said he would achieve. He has achieved it. He has done a lot of deregulation, whether you agree with it or not. He has achieved it. I think a lot of what we're seeing from Donald Trump this year is going to be something we're going to have to judge him on in the longer term, because ultimately we're not going to know the impact on the purse of the US states, of the United States of America, from these tax reforms for 5 to 10 more years. The deregulation sounds like a great idea if it frees up businesses to invest more and to do more and to earn more money and to pay their staff more money. But ultimately, if that leads to the next financial crisis in 5 or 10 years, 15 years down the line, then we're going to blame Donald Trump for it. So I think what we can safely say is, has he achieved what he set out to do? Absolutely. Is that going to enough to be getting through the midterms? Well, I think upon his supporter base, which got him elected, he's going to be seen as a success. But amongst others, and this is what we see from the polling numbers, he's still relatively unpopular.
At the moment, but as you say, it's all about perception, is it? Even though he's only about a year into his presidency, and you could say the bullish state of the US economy is down to the latter few years and months of President Obama.
You could say it's down to Obama. You could say it's down to the general business cycle. The global economy right now is performing excellently. And I think you look at the US and it's no different. It's leading the way. But the US has always led the way. So is that a surprise? Of course not. We look at what Donald Trump said only a few days ago. He said, "You can't judge me on the first quarter. I'm giving that quarter to Obama." Well, that's because it was a poor performing quarter. He's taken responsibility from the second quarter onwards, which is when we saw the solid growth figures. That's easy to say, but what can you actually attribute to Donald Trump, and what do you have to attribute to past administrations? Thirdly, what do you have to attribute to the fact that we are in a far better part of the business cycle? The latter part of the business cycle is always the most enjoyable. It's always the one where we see the best numbers. We were already in that when Donald Trump arrived, and I don't think even Trump himself can deny that. Unemployment was already very low. Growth was returning. There was no Eurozone debt crisis. China was seeing solid growth. He's come in at a very good time for the US economy, and at the moment, I think he's partially riding that wave, and you can't deny that he's not doing anything right now that's causing it any harm. The question is, if he's going to take responsibility for this part of the business cycle and the stock market, if we see a crash in 12 months' time, 24 months' time, will he take responsibility then?
This is the OANDA podcast.
Okay, Craig, let's turn to the UK. And we alluded to this earlier on. The big story of the week, the collapse in the share price of Capita, which plunged almost 50% following a profits warning and announcement of a shake-up in the business. And new chief executive Jonathan Lewis said the company had become what he'd called too complex and driven by a short-term focus and needed to change its approach. Now, some say Lewis is grasping at the nettle a bit, and although he shocked the market, it does position him as a CEO of a bit of purpose. But there's no doubting that a major overhaul is required, and he's certainly right to unleash what is an extensive restructuring program sooner rather than later.
I think people's biggest concern with this is the timing of it, coming so shortly after what happened with Carillion. You've got to ask yourself, is this an unfortunate coincidence? And this was always in the pipeline. He was brought in to restructure. He was brought in prior to the Carillion collapse. He's observed this throughout his first, the start of his tenure. And this plan has been in place all along. And the Carillion has provided an unwelcome distraction. And with it being so fresh in the memory, when he's announced these plans, people automatically think of Carillion when they're judging the work and the job that he has lying ahead. I think ultimately the reaction that we've seen potentially will be seen as an overreaction. It seems to me like the plans that he's put in place here has not materialised over the last couple of weeks. This has been thought out. This has been structured. A lot of work seems to have gone into this. This strikes me at this moment in time, and I don't want this to be famous last words, this strikes me at this moment in time as an unfortunate coincidence. Mm. It looks to me like he's spotted the problem. There is a lot of similarities between the two. We can't deny that. Debt levels, pension deficits, mass purchases of smaller alternative firms in order to try and grow the business. Could this be something that we look at in the longer term and say this low interest rate environment has actually spurred this in many different companies and we're just looking at two right now? We'll have to wait and see. Ultimately, he has a massive job on his hands. He's known for being ruthless in this area, in managing these kind of situations. as I say, he's got a massive job on his hands, but the biggest job he's got in his hands right now is managing people's expectations.
And there is a political risk as well in this, isn't there? Ministers are going to be all over this one after what many regard them failing to act early enough with Carillion.
Absolutely. And there's other companies as well, which are outsourcing firms, which the government is using, which are also now going to come under intense scrutiny. Already we're seeing a few others who are being compared to Carillion as well prior to any results being announced, because maybe profit warnings that have come previously, high dividends, etc. I think a number of the outsourcing firms, if not all of the major outsourcing firms for the UK government, are going to come under excessive scrutiny right now. Now, what we're reading today is that these are being monitored by the government. They don't think there's any risks, and if there was any risk, then they would take action. Well, it's too little too late, because what's happened to Carillion should have been monitored. That suggests to me that the government is saying what it takes. And unfortunately, we've heard this before. We heard this prior to the financial crisis from a number of different people. There's nothing to worry about. We're on top of this. We're monitoring it. All is good. It didn't take long for those words to become very hollow. And I think that at that point, that was from the central banks. What difference does it make on this occasion? I think ultimately, these ministers are going to say whatever it takes to keep the ball rolling.
I'm Michael Wilson from Jazz FM, and we're on air with The Business Breakfast Monday to Friday from 6 until 6.30 each weekday morning, where the team will not only digest what's happened in the last 24 hours, but also look forward to what's going to make the business world spin in the next 24. The Business Breakfast, weekdays from 6 a.m. on Jazz FM, on DAB, online, or just ask Alexa.
Okay, Craig, let's talk cryptocurrencies now. Digital currency Bitcoin has fallen 30% this week, leaving it on track for its worst week since April 2013. Now, is this on the back of a number of incidents that appear to have shaken faith in cryptocurrencies globally?
Absolutely. This has come on the back of numerous bad stories for the cryptocurrency space, and one story which ultimately led it to the place that it was. The reason why Bitcoin hit $20,000 or close to $20,000 so quickly was this frenzy that the FOMO trade, as it's well known, the fear of missing out. People were seeing the markets rising, and this is the problem with speculative bubbles that grow. People were buying not because they thought that it was built on solid foundations, a strong belief in blockchain, a belief that Bitcoin could replace gold, a belief that it was the reserve currency, a belief that fiat currencies were a thing of the past and that this is the future. They were buying it because one day it was 7,000, the next day it was 8,000, the next day it was 10,000. And when that happens, then that is a dangerous speculative bubble that's rising. Now we see it come close to 20,000 and the negative headlines start to flow. It crashes back to around 15,000, it crashes back to 13,000. The speculators are no longer interested. These dips aren't being bought anymore. Maybe they've been stung. Once you lose the speculators, who comes next? And we saw it stop at around 13,000, found its feet a bit. And then we saw the same around 10,000. This week, we've seen it break below 10,000. There's been a lot more stories. Naturally, the more popular something becomes, the more valuable it becomes, and the more in the news it becomes. And then, the more interested regulators are. We've had the rise of the regulators this year with Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. The Chinese regulators towards the end of last year. The South Korean regulators at the start of this year. The US CFTC at the start of this year talking about the link between Bitfinex exchange and Tether. All of these stories are suddenly materializing since the start of this year. It's not surprising that this has sent cryptocurrencies tumbling. Bitcoin was off at one point around 60% below $8,000. Other currencies were faring even worse. Ripple was off around 80% from its highs only a month ago. Is the worst over? I'm not so sure at the moment, because I think it's going to take something substantial or a bigger drop to help it find its feet once again. But ultimately, I think this is healthy. If you are a firm believer in the long-term prospects of this space, this is healthy, because what wasn't healthy was that initial rally. People got far too carried away.
From the team behind Jazz FM's Business Breakfast, this is the weekly OAMDA podcast.
Okay, Craig, let's look ahead to next week. And the big story, probably, although famous last words, will be the Bank of England report, with the MPC announcing its decision on interest rates. And we're certainly not expecting any surprises, are we?
No, not from the actual decision itself. I think the Bank of England's going to leave everything unchanged. They raised interest rates once last year towards the end, although in my view, I think this is just the simple unwinding of the cut which came a year before following the Brexit vote, this emergency cut. And I think from now that we're going to see a period of stability. A lot of people are pricing in one more rate hike this year. I very much doubt that this is going to happen. Although, again, as you say, famous last words. I don't think the economy is on a strong enough footing. I think there's too many risks in relation to the economy. Too much uncertainty. I think the cloud of uncertainty around this Brexit deal isn't going to be cleared up until the latter part of this year when some form of agreement comes to pass. And I think without that, I just don't think the economy is going to be in a good enough spot in order to do so. I think the MPC took advantage of a situation where we had higher inflation to reverse that interest rate cut last year. And I think they achieved their objective in doing so. Whether they want to go one step further, I'm not convinced. It's just very interesting. And I think the most interesting about next week is that it's the inflation reporting, what's known as Super Thursday. This is when we have the inflation report release, which contains forecasts, inflation forecasts, growth forecasts from the Bank of England, and a press conference with the governor himself, Mark Carney, who I remember back in the day, I had no idea who the central bank governor was when I was younger, and now he's a minor celebrity after the whole Brexit fiasco when he famously gave dour forecasts to the fury of the Brexiteers about post-Brexit Britain. And in the near term, he's proven to be wrong, and he's acknowledged that in the near term, the economy has performed better. But as the papers that we were leaked by BuzzFeed earlier in the week show, the anticipation in terms of what the once Brexit actually happens and we actually leave the European Union appears to be, according to the experts that no one wants to hear from, is still quite bad, ranging from 2% upwards from the best case scenario trade deal to the worst. And like I say, as we heard earlier in the programme, this has infuriated Brexiteers. The most notable one, as we heard from earlier, Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Yeah, not bad to get Jacob Rees-Mogg and Donald Trump in the opening montage, was it?
It was a good effort.
Okay, Craig Earlham, Senior Market Analyst at OANDA, thank you very much, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Thank you.
From the team behind Jazz FM's Business Breakfast, a daily early morning 30-minute briefing for the day ahead. On air from 6 a.m. Listen to Jazz FM on DAB, online, or just ask Alexa.